Morning in the book of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. We made it as far as verse number 3. And then last Sunday night tried to preach again from the book of Exodus chapter 3. And I want us to come back to this same chapter this morning and follow up on where we left off on last week. And preaching out of this third chapter of the book of Exodus this morning. And I want to share with you some things from these verses concerning the way that Moses approached the Lord and how God worked in his life and how that the Lord was so real and evident and the presence of God was so evident in its manifestation unto him. Now I'm thankful that the Lord will manifest himself unto us. We're reading from Exodus chapter 3. When you find your place, stand with us and we'll read the word of the Lord together. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. The word of the Lord says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. This is where we were last Sunday, on both Sunday morning and Sunday night, in this passage of Scripture. And we've preached about these things that were on fire but would not burn last Sunday night. Last Sunday morning we preached a bit about this fire of God. This morning I want to look at Moses' approach unto the Lord and the manner in which he approached the Lord. And I want us to see a contrast between him and this modern church age that we are in, and how that many seem to desire to approach God in this day, but do so very much differently than what Moses did in Exodus chapter 3. And we can learn from the way that Moses came into the presence of the Lord. Now Psalm 100 said, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." I believe when we come into the presence of God, and when we come into the house of God, that the word of the Lord has taught us that this is a special place, that this is a place where we have gathered unto his name and have set aside for his worship. And we've come here for a very special and a very specific and a very important cause this morning. We're living in the last days, though, and the word of God calls these perilous times. It says that this is this present evil world. And we see more and more the effects of the world upon the local church. And one man had said once that I looked for the church and I found it in the world. I looked for the world and I found it in the church. I remember going to church as a little boy, and the church was quite different then. And my friend people were different then. And church was a hallowed place. Church was a sacred ground. The grounds of the church were respected and sacred. And my friend, listen, your daddy'd wear you slam out if you'd ever heard tell of you cutting donuts in the churchyard parking lot. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And now from time to time I'll pull up on Sunday morning and come around the back of the building and find a paper bag full of beer bottles and my friend the nasty magazines and all such. Folks have no fear or no respect of the house of God, and it is a crying shame and a very poor testimony for the generation in which we live. All my friend, churches have been so heavily affected by the sinfulness of this day that is likened to the days of Noah and Lot. The apostasy of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 abounds in false doctrine in this generation. False profession of 2 Timothy 3 has filled the average
assembly and the apathy and blindness of the Laodicean church age is upon us. And men have casually have forgotten about the fire of God that needs to be in our midst. Amen. Just prior to the Great Awakening, Richard Webster wrote these words. He said, "A vast change was visible in the churches of New England. The discipline was relaxed, the doctrine diluted, and the preaching was tame and spiritless." My friend, if I did not know better, I would think Richard Webster were writing in these days in which we live. Webster asserted that the preachers of his time were more a part of the problem than what they were a part of the solution. Amen. It would be more than 40 years between the time of Richard Webster's comments that I've read this morning and the revival known as the Great Awakening. My friend, he may have well been speaking, just as well been speaking about 2011, for our religious world certainly matches that description. Nevertheless, in this Laodicean church time, where the world has become churchy and the church has become worldly, and we've come to Truth Baptist Church with a higher cause and a greater purpose, we've come this morning for a particular reason. We've not met to glorify man, to glorify method, or to glorify movement. We're not here to raise funds, and my friend, we're not on a fundraising nor a membership drive, but we're here to glorify God. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore His holy name. Yes, that's right, friend. We come to see the Lord. We come to worship at His feet. We come to allow the Lord to make a difference in our lives, because we both need and we want something from the Lord. I tell you, friend, there's a lot of folks that need Him. Matter of fact, Betty Walsh have said right, everybody needs Him, but everybody ain't got Him. And say amen to that. But friend, we're here today, if you're in one mind and one accord with this two before preacher, we're here today because we both need and we want something from the Lord. We're here to worship at His feet. We're not here without purpose. We're not here, my friend, just fighting the air, shadow boxing, amen. We're not here to play church or to put on a show or a demonstration that others might see, friend. We're here to do business with God. Many times people go away unfulfilled and empty because of the effects of this corrupt and current world and its deluded religious state. But thank God there is a place by the Lord where you can experience the warmth of revival fire. I realize most of the church is lukewarm at best, but I tell you, you can still stand by Him. You can still feel the fire. When Moses said, "Hey Lord, I want to see You. I want to see Your glory. Show me Your glory." God said, "No man can see My face and live, but there is a place by Me." Woo! I tell you, you may not have what it takes to stand before Him, but He'll give you what you need to stand by Him. Amen. There is a place by Me, He said. He said, "It's in the cleft of the rock." And He said, "I'll put you there, and I'll cover you with My hand, and then I'll pass by you, and then I'll let you see My back." And when I pass by, I believe all Moses saw was the afterglow of where God passed by, where He was. I'll tell you, what was He glowing from? Because He's a consuming fire. Amen. And Moses saw the Lord as He passed by, His hand over him. And then he saw the afterglow. The afterglow was so powerful, Brother Matthew, that when Moses came down from the mountain. And my friend, he bent over the Israelites. They said, "We can't stand to look at you. Your face is glowing like your own fire." He got a glimpse of the afterglow of the fire of God. And he lit Moses up so much. He had to put a veil over his face in order for folks to stand the shine that was coming off of him. Amen. Woo! I tell you, when you leave the house of God, there ought to be a glow about you. The fire ought to be in your life. The light of God should radiate from you. I wonder, have you come this morning for a social gathering? Or have you come for the fire of revival? Have you come just out of habit, ritual, repetition, or my friend, or for reputation? Or have you come today in order to see God, in order to hear from heaven, in order to experience revival fire? I tell this fire to be had. Seen, but it'll come when you're seated, decent, in order, and serious about worshiping God. I'm not here to play games. And my friend, amen. Oh, that's exactly right. The closest thing that some of our churches in this community, in this county, has a scene to fire happens on Saturday night when they have their rock concerts and they all light up their cigarette lighters and wave them around in the air. Amen. I tell you, I'm so sick of show business. I'm so tired of putting on a dog, as my daddy says. I'm so tired of people pretending and playing games. God is never going to honor that. If we want power with God, we better get serious with God and approach Him the way God says to.
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. Modern casual church movement is a sickening in the nostrils of God. Amen. That's exactly right. He said, "Because thou art neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Somebody said, "I don't like that kind of talk." Take it up with Jesus. Jesus is the one that said it made him want to vomit, made him want to spew him out of his mouth. The lukewarmness, the lackadaisical attitude of the average church service is a revolting. My friend, it's sickening. It's nauseating. Amen. That's exactly right. I tell you, the average church service in modern day America, modern religious America, people come as they are and leave as they were because nothing is happening in that place. Ichabod has been written above the door and God is not present. And we must have, we both need. And my friend, if you're in the mind with me, desire for the power of God to work in our lives. Amen. How should we come unto the Lord? And what effect should His presence have on us? And Moses came to Horeb, the mount of God, and God revealed Himself to him. I tell you, friend, and I read this passage, and I stand in awe as I read at this account of this meeting between Moses and God. It's thrilled the souls of men for thousands of years and still fills us today with a sense of a burning presence. God that filled Moses' heart and his life. The modern casual church. And by the way, I'll use that phrase time and again this morning. I've become convinced that's what it is. It's the modern casual church. And my friend, it's a modern manifestation of the casualness of our lifestyle. Casual relationships, casual dress, casual romances. Amen. And all of it out of the will of God. We become so casual and so careless. And my friend, our eyes have lost sight of the holiness of God. And if that same influence of the world has manifested itself in our churches and our church services because of it are comfortable and easy and casual and soft. And I tell you, none of those things speak about fire. Amen. We need fire again. That's right. Oh, yes.
The modern casual church knows nothing of such a meeting as what Moses had with God in Exodus chapter 3. They are at ease inside. Amen. They are comforted rather than convicted in their sins. They have no fire burning within them to motivate them to seek God and to obey His voice. I want you to notice three things this morning about this passage. And maybe four things and then I'll be done. I notice first of all Moses' anticipation. His anticipation. The Bible said in verse number 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight why the bush is not burned. Moses turned aside to see this great sight. Before Moses ever got to the bush, he anticipated something big was just about to happen. I wonder, what are your expectations this morning? What did you anticipate when you came to the house of God? Well, I figured they'd sing them same old songs again. I figured that preacher would get up there like he does every week, and he'll get all sweaty and lathered up, and then my friend, he'll preach and he'll yell and he'll scream, and some of them will say, amen. This one or that one might go to the altar. When it's done, I'll shake hands, I'll feel better because I went to church, and I'll go home. I wonder, what did you anticipate? Moses said, I tell you what I anticipate. I'm going to see something big. I'm going to see this great sight. Something's happening up there on that mountain of God. Woo! I wonder, friend, do you come to the house of God saying something big's going to happen? Something great's going to happen? God's going to do something for me in my life, in my family, in our church. I'll turn aside now and see this great sight. There's fire on that mountain. There's God in that fire. And I want to get where the fire is.
Amen.
He had anticipation. Amen. He came to the burning bush to see God. He anticipated something special. I want to tell you, we're here today, friend, to see God and to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're here to see something special. Somebody said, what if nothing happens out of the ordinary? I got news for you. The ordinary around here is pretty special. Amen. That's exactly right. The ordinary around here, you can't buy it in a box. Amen. You can't find it in a tree stand. You won't get it off the 18th tee. Amen. That's exactly right, friend. You can't catch it with a red wiggler on your hook. Amen. That's right. I tell you, the ordinary around here is pretty special. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. And every now and again, he just puts it in overdrive and gives us something extraordinary. I tell you, I want to be where the fire is. And God spoke to Moses out of the bush. We should anticipate when we come to the house of God hearing a word from the Lord. There's a lot of folks who wants to hear a word from Nashville or Hammond or Murfreesboro. Amen. Oh, some of you don't even know what that means, and that's all right. Amen. Those of you that do, more power to you. Amen. Some folks wants to hear a word from the preacher. Others wants to hear a word from their neighbors or friends. But I tell you, Moses turned aside to hear a word from God. Oh, if you're really where you ought to be with the Lord, you're here to hear from heaven. Somebody said, I don't like that preacher no more. Well, if you're here to hear from heaven and not the preacher, then that won't make a whole lot of difference, will it? I don't like the deacon. I don't like the Sunday school teacher. Sometimes I don't like our deacon or Sunday school teacher either. Amen. But I'm not here to hear. Sometimes I really don't like that preacher no more. But we're not here to hear from them, friend. We're here to hear from heaven. What if the choir sang off pitch? What if the musician missed the note? What if somebody didn't do it just right? If my friend, you're not here to hear those things. things. If you're here to hear from heaven, then all of everybody else's flaws, mistakes, shortcomings, and failures, don't cast a stumbling block in front of you. Moses didn't say, I'm going to the mountain to see what a crowd's gathered there. He said, I'll turn aside and see this great sign. I need to hear from God.
Amen. Oh, yes. Well, that church is full of hypocrites. That's probably right. Amen. And that Walmart you shopped in this week's full of hypocrites too. And you paid to go there. Amen. And my friend, when you got to the door and they said, thank you, come again, they didn't really even mean it. It's just what that greeter's been trained to say. And next week you'll go back and give them some more money. Amen. That's exactly right. You paid the doctor to tell you there wasn't nothing wrong with you. And I could have told you that before you went. Amen. And he gave you some medicine that you paid for to make you feel better, and it ain't doing you a bit of good. That's exactly right, and you'll know what you'll do next month. A month after, you'll go back just so he can check and make sure the medicine's doing what it's supposed to. That's exactly right. And pay him again, and you think when he came in there and asked you how you're doing, he really cared. He's just marking his chart, buddy. And we're making and making his money. And hey, when you need him, thank God for folks that do that for a living. But make no mistake about it, they do it for a living. They don't do it because they just love you so good and all that kind of stuff. Are you listening to me? But then you get down to the house of God, and just the slightest little thing go wrong, you'll fall into a million pieces. Say, I'm not going back. What did you come for to start with? What went you out for to see? Somebody said, that preacher too hard. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind. You come to hear the wrong preacher this morning. Amen. That's exactly right. I tell you, friend, listen, we better be here to hear from God. I'll tell you something else, Brother Chuck. I've come to church a lot of times for reasons other than hearing from God. But somehow or another, when I got where the fire was, I still heard from God. And he changed my way of looking at everything. That's exactly right. I wonder, what do you anticipate? What are you looking for? What do you expect in this meeting today? Amen. Moses came to see God. Amen. He said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight. He came to the burning bush to see God. He anticipated something special. This great sight. This El Bethel. This house of God. This God of the house of God. I came to God's house expecting to find Him at home. Amen. That's exactly right. And when I get here, I find that He, my friend, welcomes me into His presence. When I enter on His terms. He came to see God. He came to meet with God. He came to see a burning God. One that burned with fire. A consuming fire. And yet, my friend, a constrained fire that would not consume the bush. And my friend, instead, he came to watch him burn. And Moses got there, had God unleashed the fury of his power on that bush. And would have been annihilated in a second. And Moses would have had nothing left to see. But instead it was a constrained fire. And my friend, it burned for quite a while. I tell you, the Lord will give us just the right dose at just the right time. And my friend, a fire in us, a constrained, that it might burn in our bosoms. The fire of God, the blaze of the Lord, so we can experience Him for some time. I don't know about you, but I came anticipating. I came to sing. I came to shout. I came to praise. I came to adore. I came to worship. I came to fellowship. I came looking for God to do something special.
Amen, preacher.
He came to see God. He came to see a burning God. He came to see an incomprehensible God. His bush was not consumed. Moses couldn't understand it. I tell you, friend, you really get where God's burning, but he's burning up, but he ain't burning out. And friend, you don't understand all what's going on. Amen. You might not even know about the heat, whether or not you like that heat, but there'll be something about the fire that interests you. Amen. Ain't that right? I mean, some of you, your first trip around this church, when you was lost the first Sunday, you didn't much like the heat. The heat was just about more than what you could stand. But there's something about the fire that captivated your attention. Amen. You said, I don't know, I'm just so glad to be gone. I ain't never going back. But all week long you thought about the fire. All week long you thought about the flame. Come the next Sunday, you come back. You said, I don't like the heat. But something about the fire just captures my attention. That's where Moses was. He said, God was incomprehensible. He'll never burn out. He'll never, my friend, give up. But he knows how to set ablaze. I heard, my friend, this morning, if we'll seek him, he'll set us afire. His anticipation. Then secondly, and I'm moving on quickly now, his approach. Notice his approach. This is where most vary today from Moses, is in our approach. Everybody wants something. Everybody needs something. But not everybody's approaching God in the same way. This is where most vary from Moses. Many anticipate fire. They anticipate signs and wonders. Many anticipate a word from the Lord, but they want to step into a supernatural realm and do so carelessly and casually, approaching the sovereign God of the universe. This modern casual church has tried to approach a sovereign and unchangeable God in a matter of immodesty. And my friend, in a matter of carelessness and slackness, and God is not honoring it. Moses was holy in his approach to God. He was holy. Verse number 5, he said, draw not nigh hither. Moses, he called unto him in verse 4. Moses answered him. When God spoke to him, he didn't say, come unto me. He said, don't you take another step now. Don't you draw nigh. Don't you come near just yet. There's something you've got to do, Moses. Take your nasty shoes off of your feet. Remove the shoes from your feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. Amen. Oh, friend, it was a command of God. This reverential approach, that was not something that Moses did naturally. It was his desire naturally just to run up there and see what God's doing. But God said, before you come up here, you better approach me with reverence. You better approach me with respect. It was a command of God. It took God's gentle reproof to cause Moses to approach him with holiness. Moses didn't even know how to approach God, but the Lord instructed him how. And Moses, when God told him how, didn't bristle up. He didn't get angry. He didn't say, if this is how it's going to be, I just won't go up there at all. Rather, he followed God's instructions and he heard from the Lord. The modern casual church said, if I can't do it my way, if I can't come as I am, if you won't accept me for being me, doing like I'm doing and living like I'm a living, then I just won't go at all. But I tell you, friend, if you're going to approach God, you must approach him in a manner of holiness and reverence and respect.
Right.
Follow God's instructions. There was a time when God's house was a place of holiness, a place where sinners were convicted, a place where old-fashioned preaching brought about old-fashioned repentance and old-fashioned salvation, a place where God was worshipped in a godly manner. Most churches have now worldly messages from corrupt Bibles, worldly methods, worldly ministers, worldly music, worldly messages.
manners, worldly materials, and worldly men and women in the pews as well as the pulpits. And in order to put numbers on the board and make the gospel acceptable to a generation that will not endure sound doctrine, preachers and churches have dropped the standard. They are unholy in their approach to God, and yet they still expect God to honor it. And it will not happen.
Amen.
So tired of preachers trying to be cool.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
You youngins, listen to me. One of the worst things you can ever do in your life is try to be cool.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You ever notice the cool dude's life always goes sideways? I mean, the guy you grew up with, it seemed like he's the one had it all together. He knew everything. You know, he wouldn't listen to the teachers because he knew everything. His mom and daddy didn't know nothing. They wasn't about to tell him what to do because he already knew everything.
Right.
Mr. Cool never does turn out good.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
That's exactly right. Mr. Cool tells you it's cool to smoke and it's cool to drink and it's cool to chew and it's cool to spit. Mr. Marlboro died with lung cancer. Did y'all know that? Amen. That's right. Oh, my. The Marlboro man. Mr. Cool. Joe Cool. You ever heard all these terms? I mean, hey, and I'm so sick in this world we're living in, the preacher's trying to be cool. I mean, trying to be hip, trying to be modern. They want to wear the little short breeches and the little t-shirts and their little necklaces with a shark tooth hanging on. I hadn't figured out the yeah, what that's supposed to mean or prove. But I tell you, a man of God ought to look like a man of God. I'm not a hippie up here to put on an entertainment center for you. I'm not some singer. I'm not one of the Beach Boys here to sing to you, friend, about running around. Friend, I'm not here to try to put on a show for you. I'm so sick of preacher dressing like they're Arsenio Hall or my friend some sort of a nightclub entertainer. I've got nasty mouths and telling off-the-color and shading jokes like they're nightclub entertainers. Somebody say amen right there. I'm so tired of hip churches and my friend preachers supposedly trying to be relevant and billboards with signs saying we're a church for people who don't do church. We're a church for folks who don't like church. I've got news for you. I don't want to go to a church where it's not like a church. The whole world's full of stuff that's not like church. I need a church where I can go to church. Amen. That's exactly right. The modern casual church movement. I'm out there with their coffee shops. Hey. And their Wi-Fi centers. And all of this foolishness. None of it in the Bible. I tell you what is in the Bible. You better take your shoes off. You better reverence God. You better leave the world out there if you're going to meet God in here. You better draw near to God with reverence and holiness. You better approach Him with fear, friend, and understand He's God. And then you can hear from heaven.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Churches has been taken over by show business.
You're right.
Hey!
Yeah.
Oh, it ain't just the charismatics and the TV crowd no more. It's all in the Baptist ranks as well. So business. That's exactly right. Glory preaching. Glory seeking. An average preacher would break his own arm off if he didn't think nobody would notice just to pat himself on the back. Amen. That's exactly right. I tell you, I got in trouble first church I pastored. Folks said, what you need to do, said if you get up there every week and tell everybody who all you went to visit and what all you did all week and what all you had planned and all the efforts that you made, the hours that you studied and whatever, then folks appreciate it. I got news for you, friend. If I got to stand up here and tell you everything I've done, brag on myself through the whole service, in order for you to appreciate the preacher, then you came to hear from the preacher. I'm not to hear from God. I got some more news for you, and you're not going to like this part. So if you think it might scare you, come get in my pocket because I'm going to say it anyhow. It ain't none of your stinking business what I've been doing all week. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, friend, hear me. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. I work for somebody a lot higher than the church conference. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. exactly right, friend. Somebody said, who are you having trouble with? I ain't having trouble with nobody. That's how come I preach like this. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, we got church conference tonight and I'm preaching like this. How about that? It's officer election. I know preachers this morning that are a tenth of the man they were last month because they scared to death of the vote tonight. But I got news for you, friend. I don't work for you. I work for God. I work for heaven. If we'd get our eyes off of men, get our eyes off one another, get our eyes off elections and popularity and patience, and put our eyes on the fire, put our eyes on Jesus, there is no telling what God will do.
You've made church about the preacher. If you make church about me, you're going to be in a mess. I want to live right and I want to do right and I want to be a good example and I want to help you and your home. But I'm telling you, I am not Jesus. And if you build this church on me, it'll crumble. And if you make church about me, your family will be in a mess.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
If you make church about you, all of us are going to be in a mess. I done been there and tried to pastor that. Amen. Somebody in the church wants to make it all about them. My Uncle Ed Golden told me some folks would rather be in charge of nothing than to be a part of something. Amen. They'd rather kill it and get to run it than they had for it to thrive and them not be in charge. Amen. They want to make church about them, but I got news for you. It ain't about you. It's not about me. It's not about your mama. It ain't about the pew you paid for. It's not about your plaque or your, I might find something you put on the wall or a tree your papa planted. Amen. That's right. Oh, friend, church is about something much greater and higher and larger and more eternal than that. Get your eyes off of this natural world. Put your focus on heaven. Start to live for something bigger than yourself. Understand we're in a righteous and a holy place. And get your eyes on God today.
Amen.
The wrong approach has compromised the church's purity. We are to abstain from all appearance of evil. We cannot embrace the world's manners and expect God's approval. Amen. The wrong approach has cost the church its power. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We cannot embrace the world's manners and expect God's power. The wrong approach has confused the church's purpose. We're supposed to be different from the world, not like the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, but this modern world says, come as you are, do as you will, and leave as you came, unrepentant, unsaved, unfulfilled, and unusable. We're supposed to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's, and we're not to be here for any other reason. Our approach. Why did you come this morning? How did you come? Our approach.
And then I want to say, notice his attitude. His attitude. Verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face before the Lord. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon his God. The casual church, the modern casual church, is operated so as to make people feel comfortable and laid back. The atmosphere of ease and unconcern is not a right attitude toward a meeting with God. Find no place in the Bible where God's people were ever casual with God. Find no place in the Bible where the unsaved were comfortable in their sin before a thrice holy God. They were afraid to show their face. They were ashamed to show their face. They said things such as, "Woe is me, for I am undone." They said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." I tell you, my friend, in no place was any sinner comfortable in the presence of a thrice holy God. Until God makes you uncomfortable, you'll never be converted. The Laodicean church was comfortable, but God condemned them. They said, "We're rich and increased with good and have need of nothing." And God said, "You know not that you're poor and you're blind and you're miserable and you're naked." And the Laodicean church is a likeness or a type or an illustration of the modern casual church age. And God said, "Because you're neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth." When you approach God, we don't do so in a spirit of comfort, but in a spirit of conviction.
Right.
He was humble before the Lord. He hid his face. Moses understood he wasn't worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. Now listen to me. Moses was a prince. Are you hearing me? Moses was a prince raised in Pharaoh's house. Moses was chosen of God. Moses was anointed of God. Moses was serving the priest of Midian. It said in chapter 3 and verse 1, he certainly had more status than you or I have to approach the Lord. And yet Moses hid his face. I tell you, we have no right to stand before God. We don't have, my friend, any status before Him. When we approach Him, we do so humbly, understanding He's high and holy, and we're low and humble. Oh, thank God. And yet, though I'm poor and needy, the Lord taketh upon me. It's His grace that He looks upon us when we come humbly into His presence.
Amen.
He was humble before the Lord. He was fearful before the Lord. The Bible said he was afraid. This God that Moses faced was a consuming fire that's never consumed. The perpetual I am that I am who spoke to Moses was a God of heaven and earth. He's a thrice holy God, an all consuming, all powerful, everywhere present, all knowing God. I tell you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. His attitude. Did you study in this morning? Were you bubble gum?
Yeah.
We used to have some at the storefront over there. Would come in, dip in snuff, drinking Dr. Peppers. Hats not only on their head, turn around backwards on their heads. Sit on them metal chairs and see how far they could push me. And it wasn't real far. And I'd preach on it. And they'd get mad. That is all right. They didn't like the heat, but there's something about that fire they wanted to come back and see. Amen. I'd go back there and take the hat off and put it in their lap while I was preaching. They'd put it back on. I'd go back and take it off, put it back in their lap. When the service got done, I'd shake their hand and tell them, "I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you coming, and I love you, and I want you to come back." And when they come back the next Sunday, I'd take the hat off again. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. Just because I love them and just because I'm glad they're here don't mean they're going to wear their hat. Amen, amen, amen. And just because I tell them to take off the hat don't mean I don't love them. I still love them, but we're going to take off the hat. Amen. That's exactly right. Somebody said, "I'll come." I had a fellow come to my house and said, "I'd come to your church all the time. But," he said, "I've just had it. I can't come no more." He said, "All you want to do," and this is back in the early days dealing with all of that. He said, "All you want to do is preach on folks are dressed in right, and earrings in men's ears, and all that kind of foolishness, and long hair, and drinking liquor, and smoking cigarettes, and living like a dog." He said, "That's all you seem like you ever want to preach on." And I thought, man, I don't know why that bothers you none. I mean, he smoked cigarettes, had long hair, had an earring. I mean, I knew why it's bothering him. He's guilty. But listen, I loved him. I hugged his neck. I told him, "I want you to come. I want you there. I love you. I care about you. I'm concerned about your soul. But I'm not going to quit preaching on your sin." And my friend, we've got to approach God with an attitude of holiness. Allow God to work in us and to touch
is fearful before the Lord. This is a place that ought to strike some fear into you. I love you, but I don't want you comfortable here. I want you welcome, but I don't want you comfortable. Are you listening to me? There is a difference. Finally, I want you to notice Moses' attentiveness. From verse number 7, I'm not going to read all of this, but from verse number 7 to the end of the chapter in verse number 22, the Lord is speaking. But this is what I want you to gather out of it. God speaks in verse 7. Matter of fact, it really starts in verse number 5 and goes through verse number 22, and it's the Lord speaking and Moses listening. In all of these verses, some 18 verses from verse 5 to verse 22, God speaks in every verse except 2. Moses asked 2 questions. And God talks the rest of the time. And you know what Moses does? He listens to the word of the Lord. You know what's the matter with a lot of folks that come to church and they run their mouth through the whole service and they don't listen to the word of the Lord? Some of you needs to figure out how to button your lip. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Good Lord in heaven, help us. I mean, just talk through church, talk the whole time. I mean, play the whole time, doodle the whole time. Don't pay attention the whole time. When you get to the house of God, you ought to be attentive to the word of the Lord. That's exactly right. Some of you, when you get to the end of the service, you don't have no idea what I preach. One thing about it, I ain't never got to worry about preaching and making you mad because you ain't listening no how. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, my friend, talk to the whole service. I flop your gums, gossip. I sit there and then criticize when you leave. Hell, oh, but Moses, God began to speak to him. Moses, God, reverent before God. Moses saw the fire and felt the heat, and God said, take your shoes off. Moses set the world aside. He left his dirty old world and his dirty shoes. And my friend, he approached God with an open heart and open ear to listen to a word from the Lord. I wonder, will you hear him when he speaks to your soul today?
Amen.
Would you hear a word from the Lord? Are you attentive to him? God speaks. Moses listens.
Yeah. Boy, what a novel concept.
Our modern casual church is so looking for to be entertained that we've turned a deaf ear to the voice of the Lord. We hear the music.
Yeah.
We hear the minister. We see the method, but we miss the message. And the word from God is what matters. We're so wrapped up in the style. We're so wrapped up into whether or not the preacher or the singer has kept our interest. Oh, my friend. And we've got all the style and all the... my friend, the method. But we've missed the substance and we've missed the message.
That's right.
God wants to speak to your heart. By the way, when Moses heard the voice of the Lord, he said nothing else about what he saw, but focused on what he heard. Moses saw fire, and that got him interested. But when he heard the word, he was more interested in the word than he was the fire.
Right.
Are you listening to me? There's a lot of folks who's only interested in fire. But they're not interested in the word. But if you'll see enough of the fire to get your interest, and then get linked up with the word, you'll find out what's really important in your life.
Right.
I like shouting as good as anybody. Better than most of you.
Yep.
I like it. I like it when the choir sings and you can feel the ceiling tiles are rattling. Man, I like it.
Right.
I like it when God blows through with His sweet Spirit and sets us on fire. But there's something deeper and richer
when He speaks with a word from heaven. And as much as I love the fire, I must confess, I love more the Word.
Amen.
Right. It's the Word that tells me how to get to the fire and how to stay close by. Woo!
Right.
Oh, yes. Are you listening this morning for a word from the Lord? Are you paying attention to His voice? I'm finished preaching now. You can come with a song. I find no place in the Bible where saints were casual or sinners were comfortable in the presence of a holy God. The God of this world does not match the God of the Bible. We're not here today to be entertained, to have our conscience soothed, or to feel good about ourselves. We're here to worship in spirit and in truth. Speak to God and have God speak to us, and then leave here better equipped to serve God in this present evil world. If you're a sinner this morning, you've never been saved by God's grace. Today you walked in not knowing what to see. You don't even know what to think about the heat, but the fire's caught your attention. I hope you've heard a word from the Lord. And if God spoke to your heart, today's the day to get right with God. Saint of God, if you're here and the fire is a little bit cool in your life, you're not near to God as you need to be. I pray you've heard a word from the Lord, that God spoke to your heart, and you'll find a place to do business with God in these altars. If you want to draw nigh to God, take your shoes off. Shed the old world and the dust and grime that comes with it. Approach God in reverence and fear, and the Lord will faithfully speak to your heart. He'll say, draw nigh. If you need to talk to Him this morning, would you come? Stand to your feet if you need to pray. These altars are open and there's room for you this morning. Would you come and do business with the Lord, saint or sinner alike? If you need to pray, come find your place around these altars to talk to God. Find your place to do business with God. Sing whenever you're ready. Folks need to come and pray. Would you come? Come immediately. If the Lord's a dealer with your heart, come and come now and do business with the Lord. Maybe you need to take His shoes off and draw near. never seen it live. That's right. Powerful, powerful. They're looking for Zion. We really want to know God. We'll seek His face. We'll approach Him in holiness and reverence. We'll realize He's high and holy, and we are meek and lowly. But I'm glad He's a friend of sinners. Amen. And He eats with them, dines with them, fellowships with them. I'll tell you something else He does. He forgives them. He saves them. Amen. That's right. I wonder, friend, if you obeyed God this morning, done what the good Holy Ghost has had you to do and has laid on your heart. I appreciate the meeting. I thank God for what He's done. Thank the Lord this morning for the good service early in the Sunday school.